Thank you for joining us today here at Covenant of Grace's prayer line. And we're on part two of In Reflection of God's Word. In part one, we talked about four different things that God does in challenging us to become the individual he wants us to be in Christ. And he uses his word as that mirror to help us to see ourselves more clearly and to take hold of the truths of God's word and to then reflect his character through the anointing of God. Today I want to talk more specifically about what that mirror is and what the Word of God is all about. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. We're also going to get out 1 Corinthians 13, 12 and 13, look at those scriptures, and Esther chapter 1, verse 4. But first, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Notice that the sword of the Spirit and God's Word are one. You have the Word of God being that mirror that we look upon, but we do so in the light and through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, without its light being shined, we don't see the Word of God for what it is and what God wants for us to see in order to take hold of the nature and the purpose of God in our lives and to express and to see the work and the anointing of God in our lives as we begin to carry out our faith through recognizing what the Word of God says about us and what the Word of God says for us to do in living out our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For some people, certain sins or difficulties in life are harder to deal with than others. It depends who you are. It depends your makeup. It depends where you're from. But no matter who we are, whatever we have to deal with in life, whether it's difficulties or whether it's circumstances of life, or whether it's just trying to become who God wants us to be, it takes insight from the Holy Spirit to be able to gain the right clarity from God's Word, to begin to apply the principles God wants us to in order to become the person that the Lord intends. But it can't be done without His grace, without His anointing, and without His allowing us to see clearly through the reflection of His Holy Word. I want you to know that until the work of the Holy Spirit came along, or people in my heart and life that began to, you know, through their lifestyle, show a different example of Christianity to me than what I had been used to, I never really thought much about this born again or Christian experience, other than it was a heritage of faith in some regard of religion that I was following in, that was my form of Christianity and what I thought Christianity was all about. But through the eyes of God and through His Holy Scripture, I begin to see things in a different way. And through the Holy Spirit anointing God's Word, I've been able to take upon some things that have helped me to walk in a more circumspectful direction and to be more like Christ through His grace and love. And you can too, if you'll give the Lord up the opportunity to touch you in a very special way and to trust Him as the Lord of your life. Look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I talked a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit the Lord wants us to begin to take hold of in our life in the last lesson. But here in 1 Corinthians 13, it really takes hold of the fruit of the Spirit in a very special way because it so perfectly encapsulates the love of God in this chapter. This is the love chapter. And in the love chapter, we see the fruit of the Spirit as it is. And then in verse 12 and 13, it wraps it up and talks about in verse 12 that reflection of the mirror that we see partially now, but one day we'll really see and understand when we meet Jesus what it was all about and who He had totally wanted us to become. Look with me at verse 12 and 13, if you will. Now we see a reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. As we see Jesus for who He is, we'll really see what He wanted us to become. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely, in the same way that I have been completely known. Now, faith, hope, and love remain. These three things, and the greatest of these is love. Love encapsulates, takes hold of the very nature of who God is. And from verse 1 through 12, it talks about what love is all about. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I do not have love, I'm a clanging gong or clashing cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. But love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. We know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, think like a child. But now that I am a man, I put an end to childish things. Then it gets into the scriptures we talked about a few minutes ago. Now we see a reflection in the mirror. We see a reflection in the mirror. Then we will see face to face. How we will see face to face? We'll see Jesus face to face. The one who we were truly supposed to be like and exemplify and to express to the world. Did you hear those scriptures? We talked a bit about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, kindness, patience, long-suffering, self-control. If that is not what is being talked about here in 1 Corinthians 13, I don't know what it is, but it all brings it into view with an understanding that comes from love. God is love. And when we truly take upon the nature of God and who He is, and the love of God begins to just shine out from us, the world will see itself for what it is. We will see ourselves for who we are, and we will begin to take notice and make the right corrections to become more like Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to apply His character into our hearts and lives. Arrogance will be gone. A braggadocious nature will be gone. Jealousy will be gone. The rudeness will be gone. All things that, you know, you could perfectly link with things spoken about considering the fruit of the Spirit. All because of the universality and the power of God's love. When the mirror of God's Word begins to reveal in us the things we need to understand, we begin to see God's love being poured out abroad in our hearts. And through that love, it just begins to pulverize us, cleanse us, and purify us. And then we begin to take hold of those things that are like Him and share Jesus to this world as He is, the love of God personified in flesh, who came to dwell among us and has risen and is sharing of Himself day in and out through those who are a part of His church or become a part of the body of Christ through faith in His name. We need to get hold of this. God's love wants to be poured into our hearts, but it can't unless God cleanses us and prepares our heart and soul to receive it, so that rudeness, arrogance, braggadocious nature, all these things, these record of complaints, you know, we can just get rid of. Lord, let me have more of You in my heart and life and less of me. Let people see You through me and less of who I am. Amen. Look at the book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 4. He showed off the awesome riches of His kingdom and beautiful treasures as mirrors of how very great he was. The event lasted a long time, 6 whole months to be exact. During the time period that is being spoken of here with Esther, it's talking about a time period where Xerxes was in power, and he was the great, Persian king, leader, emperor, if you want to call him that. And he had vast riches, and he had an expansive kingdom. And, it was like a mirror of greatness that was exemplified from his life to so many people. Not in the inside of holiness, but in worldly riches. The greatness of God that wants to show itself from us is that which is the truest treasure. And when love becomes real to us and we see ourselves as 1 Corinthians 13 says, we can then say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I've seen it. I've embraced it. I want it to be me. If we can but just allow that love chapter become immersed within our soul and think upon it, meditate upon it, and say, hey, this is what the Lord wants me to become like, then we will begin to become the children of God that he wants us to be, anointed, appointed, and used for his purposes. Amen. There in 1 Corinthians 13, when it talks about that mirror, there in verse 12, it's speaking to a church that truly understood what a mirror was. Because that time, Corinth was known for some of the greatest brass that was known, that was so beautiful that you could so indirectly see things so perfectly. And that brass was used so many times as a mirror that people could take hold of to see their human nature. But it is a poor reflection in view of who the Christ is and when we will see him face to face. But if today, through the scriptures and through the inner working of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to see him and to take hold of his nature and let the love of God just minister through us in such an astounding measure, we can begin to portray Christ to this world in such a way that people would be drawn to his kingdom. Not because of who I am, not because of who you are, because of the Lord and his love that you're exemplifying. Begin to meditate upon 1 Corinthians 13. Begin to see Jesus for who he is in this God of love. And think about this powerful force that wants to pulverize your life and to see the incomprehensible God become comprehended in at least some measure through the love of God. And seeing that love of God being poured out of your heart, seeing a little bit of Jesus shared with this world through you and me, through the reflection of the mirror of God's word. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today, and I pray that something that has been said would touch a heart and touch the core of our soul and help us to begin to bear witness of your love in such a wonderful way. Anoint us to be filled with your Spirit and to take upon the nature of who you are, Lord, and help the world not to see me, but to see Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And that faith would be that which explodes with the love of God and shows forth the fruit and the character of Christ, that people would know that I've been with you Bless and touch each and every one who's called in today. Touch them, minister in their hearts and lives. Touch your bodies, touch your hearts, touch your homes, touch your loved ones. Touch their being with your fabric of your love, and just touch them and help them and anoint them and meet their needs and help their lives to be that which you want to see them be and become. Prosper, strengthen, and love them, Lord, in the precious and lovely name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Thank you for calling in today. I sense a very special anointing upon this message, and I pray that it reaches your heart. If you need to reach us at the Ministry at Covenant of Grace, please call us at 646-926-0401 or email us at cgmfinc@gmail.com. You can always visit us at our website too at cgmfinc.weebly.com. We'd be so glad to help you in any way we can, and I pray that God blesses you today from His Word. Till next time on the prayer line, God bless you and thank you for being with us. I believe this message has been a blessing to my soul, and I hope it has been to yours.